The Retro Report series takes us back to a passionate but somewhat gruesome debate about doctor-assisted suicide.
I'm doing what a physician is supposed to do.
Dr. Jack Kevorkian felt it was his duty as a physician when he helped 54-year-old Alzheimer's patient Janet Atkins push a button to end her life. Dr. Kevorkian faced four trials for doctor-assisted suicide but was never convicted. But when he went on CBS's 60 Minutes and on national television played a videotape that showed him ending the life of a patient...
Is he dead now?
He's dying now because his oxygen's cut off. He can't breathe. So I'll now quickly inject the potassium chloride to stop the heart.
He's dead.
Yep, the heart has stopped.
That bold expression of his views on doctor-assisted suicide there on national television and the right to die got Jack Kevorkian a prison sentence. He served 8 years.
You had the audacity to go on national television, show the world what you did, and dare the legal system to stop you. Well, sir, consider yourself stopped.
The judge sentencing Kevorkian there. But in 2011, Dr. Kevorkian died of natural causes at age 83. And today, Retro Report asks, what is Kevorkian's legacy in the right to die debate? With me is Jill Rosenbaum, producer for Retro Report. Jill, welcome.
Hi.
So what do you think Dr. Kevorkian did that resonates today in the debate over the right to die?
Well, Dr. Kevorkian was in your face. You know, he got people kind of fixated on the macabre way he did this, but also on the immense suffering that people had at the end of life or people who were being treated for their pain. You know, it was a kind of thing that just hadn't been broadly discussed before. Though, when you look at the actual impact as opposed to the public relations impact, it's much less clear. Other people, including Dr. Timothy Quill from Rochester, New York, who brought the issue to the U.S. Supreme Court in the 1990s, or the folks in Oregon who in 1994 passed the Oregon Death with Dignity Act, they were operating at the exact same time as Dr. Kevorkian, and they actually moved the needle where he didn't.
How would you describe Dr. Timothy Quill? Is he an advocate of Dr. Kevorkian? Is he a fundamentally different sort of style of proponent here? Is he basically using the same argument?
No. And I have to say that even though Dr. Quill started his work in this area, as did the folks in Oregon, while Kevorkian was active, they really did not agree with him at all. They felt that he was unchecked, that his patients often weren't terminally ill, that he wasn't serious in you know, looking at the patient's life and the patient's whole being. It was a very, very different approach.
Much more like the kind of tone that you find in hospice care. Here's Michael Marasco, a cancer patient of Dr. Timothy Quill.
It's very intolerable. You're doing this, just making me comfortable, prolonging the inevitable, and that's not the way I want to go. Just say goodbye to your loved ones, take a shot, go to sleep, and not wake up. And it should be my right.
In terms of the rights, where does this stand legally, and how much is it likely to change in the next decade or so?
Well, so far, there are 5 states where physicians can help their patients end their lives: Oregon, Washington, Vermont, Montana, and New Mexico. There are a slew of states that have now got legislation pending. Where that will go, I have no idea. Dr. Quill has joined a new lawsuit in the state of New York asking that physicians not be prosecuted if they help their patients in this way. You know, there is a new movement to look at this again right now, but I have no idea where it's going to go.
But certainly, Kevorkian had a hand in getting it all started.
In terms of the public awareness, there is absolutely no question. And one thing that everyone agrees on is that from 25 years ago to today, the care of suffering patients and dying patients has improved dramatically. That one of the things that Dr. Quill, Dr. Kevorkian, the Oregon folks, all the attention that they put, it made it easier to give people pain medicine that could potentially end their lives, where in the past doctors were afraid to give, say, too much morphine because if the patient died, they could be prosecuted for killing them. So there were a lot of things not even related to death that came out of this discussion that I think was very helpful to a lot of people.
Jill Rosenbaum is a Retro Report producer. Thanks so much, Jill.
My pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.